KCO, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Allison Keys. Passengers on a Southwest flight heading to Las Vegas had some scary moments after takeoff when pilots dropped the plane some 300 feet in 36 seconds to avoid another aircraft. KLAS reporter Brian Loftus.
A Southwest flight that was on its way to Las Vegas from Burbank, California, took a sudden nosedive to avoid a mid-air collision. No passengers reported physical injuries. Two flight attendants are being treated for injuries not of detail yet. The plane safely landed. Apparently, the pilot stood at the front of the plane as passengers deboarded, shaking all of those grateful passengers' hands.
Health experts are warning people to be careful as a heat dome smothers the Northeast and other parts of the nation. Brian Hurley is at the National Weather Service.
Especially by Monday and Tuesday, a lot of it will be southeast to the Carolinas. So you're talking Jacksonville, you're talking Atlanta, and you're talking Charlotte. So that's where the heat is especially going to be pretty oppressive going into the middle of next week.
That controversy over President Trump and the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein isn't going away. CBS's Scott McFarland with the latest.
Deputy U.S. Attorney General Todd Blanche, a former Trump criminal defense lawyer, has now conducted two closed-door meetings with Maxwell in an effort to quiet criticisms the administration is blocking access to the Epstein files. A plane flew a banner over the courthouse meeting site accusing the president and U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi of a cover-up. Blanche, Trump's number two Department of Justice official, said he sought the meetings with Maxwell as a response to the president's directive to release more evidence in the case.
Now to Gaza. Where desperate Palestinians try to get food at a soup kitchen as more perish amid a hunger crisis. Medical authorities there say nine have died in the past 24 hours from starvation or malnutrition. Health officials say at least 25 were killed by Israeli airstrikes overnight, and most were waiting for aid. A nine-year-old has died at Hershey Park in Pennsylvania, CBS's Nancy Chen reports.
It happened Thursday at the wave pool at the Boardwalk Water Park, and the CEO says lifeguards immediately responded after noticing the child was in distress. The child was rushed to the hospital where they were pronounced dead. And park officials closed the wave pool section yesterday out of respect for the victim's family as well as workers who tried to save the child.
The nation's space agency is about to lose more than 20% of its employees. NASA confirmed to CBS News that nearly 4,000 people are leaving. NASA says it'll work to ensure it could still do exploration, including the moon and Mars. This is CBS News.
Are you looking to hire? ZipRecruiter finds the best candidate for your job fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. Women of color are far less likely to get media coverage when they go missing. At the state capitol on Friday, Representative Sheila Stubbs of Madison renewed her push for a statewide task force on missing and murdered Black women and girls. It's her third attempt to get it funded.
How much more longer must we wait before the state that we live in decides to do something with the worst disparity in the nation? Once again, this task force will be created by 17 members. This task force has multiple purposes because there's so much that is happening in the state of Wisconsin that have led us to these disparities.
The bill would fund a position in the State Department of Justice to coordinate the task force with a report of proposed solutions due by the end of 2026. It carries a price tag of about $80,000 next year. Sheena Scarborough, whose daughter Sade Robinson was murdered in Milwaukee last year, said the task force could help other families find justice.
As you all know, we just came out of a very high-profile, traumatic, brutal trial you can ever imagine that was live streamed, and everybody in the entire world is watching everything as me and my family are watching it for the first time. We are dealing with ongoing trauma daily.
Attorney General Josh Call also voiced support, calling the effort affordable and necessary. A similar task force for missing and murdered Indigenous women is funded with federal dollars. Advocates say Wisconsin must invest in protecting Black women too, something other states like Minnesota have already begun. For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny and highs in the mid-80s. Tonight, mostly clear, upper 60s. Sunny, hot, and humid for Sunday. Highs in the low 90s. The heat index will push near 100. Sunday night, chance of showers and thunderstorms in low 70s.
Right now, 77 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk to author Laura Bird, recommending books with a connection to nature, and Senator Tammy Baldwin on keeping rural drinking water clean in Wisconsin.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Kripescast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. This week, we're talking with my buddy, Derek Hoppe. He is a garbage man in the city of Milwaukee. It is National Public Works Week, so we are shouting out one of our great public workers. And, you know, you never know how much you appreciate your garbage man until your garbage is no longer with you, you know? And I got to go on a ride along with Derek. It was super fun. We actually have First Time Garbage Man, the video coming out this week, too. So check it out. And it being National Public Works Week, if you go to milwaukee.gov/jobs, you can check out all the jobs they have available. Great benefits. You get a lot of time outside, and they do a heck of a job for the community. So shout out to all of the people working our public works. And final reminder, guys, or I guess second to final reminder, we are going to take a break from the Kripescast for the summer. I think we have about 1 week left, one podcast left, and then we'll come back in full force in the fall, but want to let you know that's coming up. And yeah, so without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here is my conversation with your garbage man and mine, Mr. Derek Hoppe. Derek Hoppe, ladies and gentlemen. Derek, we've known each other since high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a good run,
a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's that been? Almost. We don't need to do math.
Hold on. I kind of want to do the math. At least 20 years, give or take.
Yeah. 20 some.
Yeah.
20 and some.
Yeah. Yep.
That's wild. Yeah. We were just talking today, folks. If you don't know Derek and I, well, you probably don't know because this video probably hasn't come out yet. We did First Time Garbage Man, where I was your apprentice.
Yes.
Yeah. And we were talking as we were driving in the garbage truck. We were saying we passed a car that had collector's plates on it. Geez, I remember when that car was new.
That was a car you drove in high school.
Yeah.
Pretty much, like, you know, and you only got it for like a grand and it ran.
Right.
Like that.
Not a lot has changed.
Yes.
Including that car now has collector plates. But
yeah,
that's something that, you know, not everybody you get to a certain age, you appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know. We're at that age.
Yeah.
It's good. So, Derek, my first question, we kind of start off all Kripescasts like this, is like, what makes, what it's like a Kripe sesh. What makes you say Kripes?
So, with the job, I think a lot of it, like, it's a very physical job, and it's getting used to the grind.
Oh, yeah.
And there's things definitely, you know, the residents can do to make our job easier, because we're collecting, you know, 700, maybe 800 houses. And, you know, between not tying bags and stuff like that, like, you know, everything just kind of adds time on. It's weird. You get in the zone with this job. I think it's funny because I've kind of found myself to be like a creature of habit. And mm-hmm. It's a good job for that. And OCD, just kind of cleaning stuff up as I go. But, you know, making sure the bags are tied, making sure stuff's set out neatly to just keep us moving. Otherwise, we can get bogged down. And you kind of saw, like, with the morning, with the rain and stuff, everything kind of just compounds on itself. And, you know, you just kind of got to be mentally tough to go in and do it for, you know, 6-7 hours.
Yeah, definitely. No, I mean, I we did for like an hour maybe.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of stuff started making more sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you don't think about it, but like tying the bags, right? Because as soon as a bag goes, oh, well, then it's flying all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, and you get, you know, you see all like, you know, you see sometimes there's a bunch of garbage all over the street or whatever. And if it's windy like it is today and the bags aren't tied, well, then all of a sudden you got a trash tornado.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do about it either.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I this was years ago. So I've been collecting garbage for like 10 plus years. And I worked with an old timer when I first started. And that was his like saying was like, yeah, you know, it's a windy day. You know what that means? That's the garbage man's broom. Like that was his, that was his line. But, you know, yeah, it just, I think a lot of it is just, you get used to just kind of being in the zone and, kind of just knocking the day out. And it's kind of nice. There's a certain amount of, well, I know it's the cripes portion, but I was going to say, it's a very like, if once you get in the mindset, it's kind of a Zen job where you have what your day's task is in front of you. You got your map and it's like, okay, I can, you know, think about my day. I can keep going. You're getting paid to exercise. You know, it's for the most part, there aren't a lot of bad days.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was fun today. I mean, cause like you see some stuff.
Oh,
you
yeah.
see some stuff out there.
Yeah,
you see
the knife.
Yeah, like,
and that was just in there.
Yeah, like, there was a pocket knife just sitting. We put a bunch of garbage cans in, and then I was looking at the thing, and there's just a buck knife just sitting there in the deal. And I was like, so Derek, can we go in after that? And he said, no. Yeah, it's in the no go zone.
Yeah.
You know, once it's in the track compacting area.
That's that.
Yeah,
that's all she wrote.
Yeah, that's a circle of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it. But you win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest thing you've seen collecting garbage?
Whew. I mean, it all depends. There's times we get a fair amount between like rats, squirrels, possums making homes in it. And, you know, again, you're dumping so many carts, you're kind of just a little zoned out. And next thing you know, like I've had a squirrel run off my shoulder. Had
some wildlife. In wildlife. There too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's every bit of nature. Like,
you know. Thank God they got out. You know?
Yeah.
Because you pull them from the jaws of life after that. That compactor gets in there. It takes no prisoners.
No, no. And, you know, I mean, yeah, one of the times that you try to like, I believe in a little bit of karma. So, yeah, it's like, you know, like a possum. It's like, oh, this animal's doing some good. So I ended up kind of getting it by the tail and scooting it out because, you know, yeah, you don't want
to. No, last thing you want to do is that's not a way for even a possum to go out.
No, no.
That's good. Yeah, you're an environmentalist and a garbage man.
Yes. Yeah. You know,
at the end of the day. Well, that's cool. I didn't see any animals come out of the trash that we put in there today. But, you know, we only did two city blocks. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so speaking of the environmental side of it, I'm always fascinated with like the stuff you can throw out and can't throw out. You know, what are some like no-go things? Like I know lithium batteries, right? That I know because that you can't even take those on a plane because they spontaneously combust somehow.
Yeah, and I'd say, you know, but you can see it on the news. I mean, for as long as I've been doing it, I think I've had 3, maybe 4 fires in a truck that I've been working on just that. Cell phone batteries. Laptop. Mostly it was cell phone batteries, laptop batteries. And then one time it was like a 18 volt drill battery, but it's, you know, always kind of the batteries.
Yeah.
And yeah, they it's funny because it's like you even can try to put it out with water, but they just get so hot. The water kind of sizzles off. Like you could douse it in water. And if it catches on something dry, it'll go right back up.
Really?
Yeah. They definitely go on YouTube. There's some pretty gnarly videos of just how quickly that fire can happen.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure people throw those things away all the time. Cause how's anyone going to know, you know, if they're not paying attention, what do they think they do with it? You know?
Exactly. And and sometimes too, it's in the packaging. Like, you know, they might throw a recycling symbol on it, telling someone it's recyclable, but you know, you look at that and you're like, all right, I'll throw it in the cart. You know, like it's just kind of, you know, I mean, the same thing with styrofoam. A lot of that stuff gets stamped with recycling logos, but you know, unless you're like sending it to where it's specially recycled. If it's going to the recycling plant, you know, it's probably going to get tossed because they don't deal in recycling styrofoam.
Yeah, that's kind of like what do they call it? They're like a greenwashing thing, yes. You know, where the company's like, oh, well, just put a recycling thing on it. People care
let
less.
Them figure it out.
And it works.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But then what you get is you get all these people just throwing styrofoam and like certain cups and stuff and mm-hmm. even straws into the recycling thing. And all that just kind of gums up the works. And then, like, do you do the recycling side too, or just
I've done recycling? Yeah.
So isn't it true that if like it, like, let's say you put the recycling all in like a plastic bag, and then that bag kind of gums up the works. Isn't that true?
Bags can. Yeah. The all the sorting equipment, it's all run by conveyor belts and gears and such. And yeah, that'll knock a plant offline for an hour or two when they got to go in and kind of just remove all that buildup.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's anything. It's funny. That same thing goes, like, we'll have people that'll try to recycle paint, just latex paint, because I don't know why. But, you know, they'll throw a couple cans of paint in the garbage or in the recycling. And, you know, the same thing, that anything between that motor oil, anything that then touches, that'll contaminate a whole load of recycling. So everyone could be recycling correctly. And then all it takes is a couple quarts of oil or a couple gallons of paint and it's shot, you wow. know, and that's something that kind of can get overlooked from time to time too.
Yeah. Cause I could see it being like, okay, this can, the actual can itself, that can be recycled cause that's made out of tin or something, mm-hmm. you know? So you're like, okay, this can go. But then if it's got a little paint in it, that'll screw up a whole batch, huh?
Yep. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm really interested in it though. It's pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at this. Yeah. Okay.
The cans. Guidelines.
Yeah. No scrap metal, no plastic bags, no batteries, no garbage, no tanglers like hoses, wires, or chains.
People love to throw hoses in for some reason. We get a lot of like garden hoses.
Really?
That we got to pull out. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. What are the most tried to recycle things that just don't get, that's a no go? Like, what's the most common ones?
I would say garden hoses, and then like big bulky plastic items like children's toys or anything where you're like, well, it's plastic. Like, yeah. Put it in there, see what happens. You know, yeah. That's it. Just why not?
Like you get a like, big Barbie house in there
yeah,
sometimes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Stuff like that.
What does happen if you put a Barbie house in there?
It gets crushed up. And then again, it's that goes eventually, it's going to be on a plastic line where stuff's getting sorted and they're going to have to. All that stuff will go in the reject pile and then it's off to the landfill.
Yeah.
So
that's wild. So you just cut to the chase and then do it. And scrap metal. Yeah. I mean, so like, let's say you got like you got sort of a bed frame and you pull out the, or a mattress and you pull out the springs or whatever. Mm-hmm. That can't be recycled either, huh? You got to probably take that in specifically.
Drop off center, or if you know, scrappers will come and pick it up. I know they like Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, yeah.
Craigslist, stuff like that. There's people that will come pick up scrap metal for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting.
But a lot. Oh, that, and actually, now that you mention it, yeah, a lot of on the scrap metal side, we get a lot of car parts, brake rotors, shocks, stuff like that. And a brake rotor will rip the hopper when it's compacting, that'll rip the hopper right open. And then that's a couple $1,000s to, you know, repair that, welding and sheet metal and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, it is pretty wild of like, of how many things like, can just screw up so many, mm-hmm. so so many people can be doing it right. And one person meaning to do well, but not realizing it can just screw the whole thing up. So yeah. No car parts, huh?
No car parts.
Okay. But no clothing. Can't do that either.
It's another thing on the garbage side, it's amazing how much clothes people throw away. You'll dump carts of clothes.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a bummer. It's like, you know, I'm a big recycler and, you know, donate my stuff. But there's times it's just amazing the amount of stuff people go through on it. And you know, if you're on the same route, you're coming by week after week and it's like you're throwing bags of clothes in, bags of other stuff. And, you know, it's just, Yeah. I don't know.
Take it to the Goodwill kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting. Let's kind of get back to how you started. When did you decide you were going to be a garbage man?
That was actually something. So I was one of the little kids that would sit outside and watch the garbage man.
You were that guy?
Yeah, I was that guy.
Wow.
So it's kind of been something I wanted to do since I was a kid.
Childhood dream.
Yeah. And I saw it through.
You did.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did, man.
So, you know, but it's cool. Like, I don't know. There's just a certain amount of, I like being out, you know, there's a lot of like things when you look like surveys and such, where it's like, you know, there's people that say like, oh, I want a job that, you know, I feel like I'm doing something, or I want, you know, and this is something where, you know, the proof is in the work you're doing, where you can see like, as you're going by alley, you know, you're making stuff look better. You're getting rid of clutter. Same thing if in the winter we're plowing snow and it's like you slowly get to see the streets look better.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's Wisconsin weather and it's like you put nothing's worse than putting in like 8-10 hours plowing snow just to have like another snow band come in and like erase it. It's the most defeating feeling in the world sometimes. Yeah. Where you're just like, perfect. Back to square one. You
yeah.
know? But
yeah.
we got to keep everything open. So, you know, you just keep going. You plug away at it.
Got it. So you've been doing the DPW and yes. you're in Milwaukee right now.
Yes.
And then before that you were in Greendale or West Dallas?
Greendale and West Dallas I've worked for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. A
couple other municipalities, yeah.
And you've done all sorts of stuff. Like,
yes.
So snowplow, you've done garbage removal. What yep. else have you done?
Sewer and water. So anything like installing water meters, water main repair, sewer backups, stuff like that. I've helped out with forestry. So yeah, kind of a little bit of everything.
Wow. You're like a you name it, I've done it kind of a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As far as snow removal goes, like, Is that part of the garbage job?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Most of your plow drivers are sanitation drivers.
No kidding.
And there's also like rotating in workers from streets, sewers, forestry. They fill in. But like, yeah, it's not uncommon to have to go pull trash for, you know, 7-8 hours in the snow. And then we're in a plow truck right after that.
Holy
smokes. Working another, you know, shift in that.
Yeah, you guys really help make the whole thing go around.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there's something to be said about that, because sometimes people get frustrated or impatient, but it's like, yeah, we're out there kind of doing everything, you know, and it's sometimes it just, the key is it takes time.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and give you guys time.
And we're a very instant society, you know. Yeah. I can look at my phone and, hey, the snow just is out of here. Why is this, you know, why do the streets still look like this? It's like, every plow truck's doing a certain amount of miles. That guy might have been doing garbage before that. Like, you know, his plow truck could break down. There's just everything that kind of like the same thing you were saying with like recycling, like in a snow event, things can kind of compound on itself.
Yeah.
And it's just time. The salt, even salt to melt snow takes time. You know, you see the salter come by and, you know, that it might take a couple hours for to see the results of that salt, you know, yeah.
That is true, though, because we're in like a very, as you said, an immediate society. I want this done now. And if it's not done, it must be that someone's doing a bad job, not just things in life sort of take time. Right.
Yes.
Is that frustrating? You get a lot of people come up complaining to you saying like, why didn't you guys do this or that?
You do get a fair amount of negative feedback, I guess.
Yeah.
I would like, call that. But not, I mean, honestly, I'd say I get more positive by far. Like residents that say, you know, give you a thumbs up or tell you you're doing a good job. And that's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's especially if you're in for 12, 16 hours, you know, it's good to get a thumbs up to let, you know, because, you know, they're just seeing you do their, you know, they're watching you plow their street. But yeah, on a route, you might plow 25, 30 streets, you know, so it's like it's just. You know, it's good to get some good feedback.
Yeah.
You know,
you get a couple of thumbs up that pays for the guy who gave you, you know,
piece of his mind.
Yeah. Or like, piece of his finger up or something like that.
Exactly.
What's been the weirdest interaction you've had with someone?
I would say there's sometimes where people just take it personal. Like ultimately our goal is to try to widen the street as much as possible. For emergency vehicles, for parking, for things like that. And, you know, they might have took the time to shovel their driveway out and all of a sudden they see you. And it's like, you know, to do a street curb to curb, you might do 5-6 passes, but you know, they see you come by once and they're already starting to shovel and you come by again. And then by like time 3 or 4, they're waving you down like, hey, like, I'm sick of you driving by, you know, ruining, I'm trying to shovel. And it's like, sir, this whole thing has to get opened up. Like, again, it's time,
right?
You know, like, right. You know, if you can be out here shoveling, well, but it's no matter what, I have to get the street plowed curb to curb.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're directed to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's just kind of a bit of practicing futility if you're going to try to combat that. But, you know, the snow's got to go somewhere.
Yeah. I think, too, people just everyone's got a control thing, you know, and everyone's like everyone loves to sort of on the local government or whatever, wherever they are. You know, it's kind of like a thing people like to do sometimes. You see it. And especially though, if because I've also been the guy out there plowing and then it gets done. And I've thought the same thing. I'm like, God, I got to go out there and do it again.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like when you're walking across the street and there's a car that kind of is coming your way, you know, and you're like, I'm walking here.
Yeah.
And then when you're driving, you're like, I'm driving here.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then if you're Yoda, you're like, drive, here I am, or however Yoda talks, you know.
yeah,
something like that. It's just human nature probably largely. Yeah. But if people hear the other side of it, I think it helps it all come together.
Yeah.
So you talk about it kind of being like a meditative state there.
Yeah.
You know, what's that like when you get in your zone?
I think it's what's amazing is, especially with plowing snow, climbing in the truck, I'll say it's like going into a time machine, because it's like once you get going, the amount of focus it takes where you're watching traffic, you're making sure you're not tearing up lawns, or you know, there's low hanging branches, especially with, you know, freezing rain or something like that. So it's like you're so like focused that all of a sudden you look at your watch and it's like it's been 2 hours, and then you know, okay, I gotta do, oh man, it's already like, you know, 5 o'clock at night, like I'm out of here at 9 o'clock or something, you know, and next thing you know, it's like, oh, the shift's over. Like, and it's like, that was 12 hours of time. And it just goes by in a flash. Cause you're at the time, it just takes a lot of concentration for what you're doing and to do it safely.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So kind of you're out there, you're outside getting fresh air in the zone. And then before you know it, it's all over.
Yeah. And the same thing collecting trash. I mean, sometimes you get your days with we had a little bit of rain this morning, you know, working. I've been in days where it's like a downpour for 6-7 hours. And at that point, you just kind of like, that's how the day is going to go. Like, and you just have to be all right with it, because we don't just like, all right, we'll come back and try to do it tomorrow. Like, no, it's what you have to get done is there. So you got to get it done, you know, and it could be negative wind chills, it could be pouring rain, it could be 100 degrees, you know, we're still out there and you just got to make it happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of things too that you know, like if you're you told me this the other day of like if you're doing drywall or whatever and you get a bunch of dust in there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you empty that out and then you're just kind of getting caked with dust yourself.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like aside for the bags things, what are like to wrap that point up is like, so if you're gonna do drywall or whatever, get it all in a bag so it's not just spraying your garbage bin.
Yeah, contain it. If it's a sizable amount, take it to the dump. Like you can always just take it to the dump and make it easier, because sometimes those carts, if someone's trying to fill up a whole cart of drywall, you might not even be able to move that cart, you know, and then they might get frustrated because, you know, their garbage got skipped. And it's like, you threw some onto the back of the truck and moving around. I mean, if that thing's a couple hundred pounds, they're not easy to like move around and, you know, kind of finagle onto the truck.
Yeah, right, right. No, it's got that sort of even when I was putting it on, you know, and you kind of, I didn't even know that's why the back of the garbage can looked the way it did. So it could grab, the machine would grab it and throw it in, you know. But so you kind of just start looking at things a little bit differently.
Sure.
When you're out there doing it or whatever.
And especially it's funny with like new people, because it's like it almost gets hard to train new people, because you after a while, you're just it's just muscle memory and you can just and keep going.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
CBS News Brief. Grateful passengers shook the hand of a Southwest Airlines pilot after he plunged the aircraft into a massive drop to avoid another plane. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
The pilots received two alerts from the onboard collision avoidance system calling for immediate evasive maneuvers to avoid a potential collision with a 66-year-old former Swiss Air Force fighter jet.
Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche met twice with jailed Jeffrey Epstein accomplice Ghislaine Maxwell as drama swirls about Epstein's ties to President Trump. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Maxwell was convicted of conspiracy in the repeated sexual abuse of young girls. During her trial, some of the victims said they wanted her to be sentenced to life in prison.
It's hot out there. Brian Hurley at the National Weather Service.
Northern Mid-Atlantic region, so Ohio, Pennsylvania, parts of Western Maryland, West Virginia, some of those areas are going to get some significant rainfall potential in those areas just because of how warm and humid it is.
CBS News Brief, I'm Allison Keys.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers lose to Miami. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers with a 5-1 loss to the Marlins. Miami has now won 7 of the last 10 games. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
That team over there is hot. They're playing good, and they're coming of age. And it's reflective in their last 10 games and how some of those players are coming into their own. And we didn't do enough.
NFL training camp continues in Green Bay. The players with a day off, they resume practice tomorrow morning at 10:30. Mark Murphy held his final press conference after 17 years as the team president and CEO.
You know, it's a little bittersweet. I mean, obviously, I'm very appreciative. You know, I feel honored, you know, that the fans have been so supportive, you know, of me and the organization. You know, I feel so grateful to Bob Harlan. You know, he and I overlapped for a number of months, but more importantly, you know, he left the organization and great place, and hopefully I've done the same.
That's the Packers' Mark Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny and highs in the mid-80s. Tonight, mostly clear, upper 60s. Sunny, hot, and humid for Sunday. Highs in the low 90s. The heat index will push near 100. Sunday night, chance of showers and thunderstorms in low 70s.
It's 79 degrees right now.
Matt Nair on air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. After weeks of speculation, Governor Tony Evers has finally made his decision. He is not running for a third term. Evers has had an accomplished career as a dedicated public servant for 5 decades and has been a terrific governor for the state of Wisconsin these last 6+ years, and we should be grateful for his time in office. It's been a job well done. But all things must pass. In making this decision to step aside and not seek another term, Tony Evers is doing what he has done time and time again. He's doing the right thing. And perhaps in making this decision, Governor Evers can be the one to turn the tide on the Democratic Party's unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. In his own unassuming way, the mild-mannered former science teacher who became Wisconsin's governor can be an example to Democrats across the nation. Because we know what happens in Wisconsin politics often has ramifications that reach well beyond the state's borders.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, folks, this is Civic Media. I'm Charlie Behrens. You are listening to the Cripes Cast. Here's my conversation with Milwaukee garbage man Derek Hoppe.
And especially it's funny with like new people, because it's like it almost gets hard to train new people, because after a while it's just muscle memory and you can just and keep going. And then you work with, like that, where it's like, oh, put the card, you know, it's like, oh no, you got to the other way. And in your head, you're like, ah, but it takes a bit to like, you can slowly kind of build up the speed you're working with to, you know, cause everything's, it's funny with that was with collecting garbage or anything like that. It's just time. Like there's guys, I've worked with guys that can look at their watch and they'll know, all right, we're 4 minutes behind right now, you know, and we were an hour into the day, and they can just, you get so like just set into it where you just know where you should be. You should, you know, how long each thing should take. Like you just get your day like down like a Swiss watch, you know.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
I don't know if the way I'm describing it, I don't know if that sounds like good or bad, but it's a fun job. Cause it's just, I don't know. It's nice just going and just get it done.
All right. Yeah, no, 100%. Driving the truck's kind of fun. I didn't know that every garbage truck had two steering wheels in it.
Some of them don't. Primarily, though, all the residential trucks do. Yeah.
Okay.
And now that you mentioned that, like sometimes with people that, you know, just start doing it, like, and you're driving and all of a sudden, you know, they're tired from a day of work and they just go lean on the wheel to like rest. And you're like, hold on, man. Like, you know, like, oh no, I'm driving. Like you gotta get off the wheel, you know, right. Like it's just, yeah, it takes a lot to, be able to learn how to drive from the right side. And like, cause you're constantly, you know, each when we were doing those fronts, you know, and you were riding on the back, it's just, you almost have to get just in the habit of like blind spot. I'm watching you blinds, you know, and you have to do it. Cause the one time you're not going to look is the time there's going to be a car parked right next to you. And you're just going to, you know what I mean? It's so easy to like get in the routine, but then you, for safety, you can't, you know, you also have to like always be mindful of right. like what's going on around you.
Yeah. 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 Well, you've lived in Milwaukee for, your whole life, right? Yes. Pretty much.
Yeah.
What do you like about Milwaukee? What's the reason you've stayed here and kept doing it?
Just for the city. It's a city with a lot of personality, and the residents I've worked in areas all over the city. Everyone's, you know, come out, say hi to you, say good morning. Like people are generally pretty nice. And just as a city, there's a lot going on, but it's funny because, I mean, there's almost 600,000 people in the city, but the ability to just run into people, oh, hey, how's it going? You know, you just recognize people, and it's very funny to, they always call it small Milwaukee, but it's so true. Like just on any given day, the people you run into or say hi to, and somehow amongst all, like, you know, the bustle of the day, you're still running into people,
yeah.
You know, and saying hi and stuff like that. So it's that, you know, so that's what I kind of like. I just feel like, it's a big city, but it can always kind of feel like home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What's your favorite bar in Milwaukee?
Ooh, that would be, ooh, I gotta watch. Yeah.
You're trying not to offend anyone,
yes,
right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can have a few honorable mentions.
Okay.
That may make it even worse though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause now it's who didn't you mention?
Yeah. So I'm kind of over in Bayview. So like a handful of like just kind of local neighborhood bars that are owned by, you know, all the Bayviewians, Newport, Garibaldi, Puddlers, kind of that. It's more so the vibe. And I kind of laugh because as you get older, I think, you know, when you're in your 20s, it was like you went out to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, oh, like I have, you get to know bartenders and it's like, oh, I got to go see Paul. He's working tonight. You know, or I got to go see, you know, it's kind of a change in the rotation where you just eventually have people you go to see, you know, so
I just like the setup, you know, in your 20s, you go out to have fun. But in your 30s,
yeah,
you just got a guy you got to go see.
Yeah, yeah. You got to socialize, get caught up, yeah. See the regulars. Like, yeah, you know, yeah, it's less about like just going out and yeah.
Do you have like regulars you see?
On the routes or?
At the bars or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, got a favorite bartender? Oh, see, now I'm really asking you to
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, I don't know if I could. Yeah, that might be. That's like
well, I'm asking the tough questions here, Derek. And if you can't, you know, handle the heat
in Bayview, I'd say like there's one guy, PK. He's probably he's old. He's been bartending for a while, and he's always got a good joke lined up, and yeah, he's a cool guy.
Which bar is he at?
A couple of them, but mainly Newport Creed's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Real good.
Yeah,
but he'll just sit there and he'll hit you with like just a classic joke.
Classic joke, yeah.
Can you remember any of them?
I don't know. Most of them I probably couldn't.
You kind of don't want to retell his joke.
Yeah.
But, one of those things where you kind of have to be there.
Yeah. So that's what I would encourage you to go check it out.
Okay.
that's the hook.
Yeah.
I'd say. That's another thing, like even in Milwaukee you get to know, you know, you live in a neighborhood for a while and you get to kind of know everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice because you're the garbage man in town,
yeah.
You know, and you not only see people in your neighborhood, but you see them on your routes. Do you get to know people on your routes?
Oh, 100%.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. There's residents. When I was a fill-in in Bayview, and we had one lady every week. Cookies. She baked us cookies.
Really?
So we got bags of cookies for us. Just stuff like that. Always, hey, good morning. How's it going? You know, it just, some people, it's like you're a part of their week, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, they're waiting for you to say hi or good morning. Or
she just came out though with a bag of cookies.
Yeah.
Is this like an every week?
Every week.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many cookies were in that bag?
Probably like three or four.
Three or four.
I mean, like a good, well, and she'd always, but it was always, now this one's for the laborer. This one's for the driver. Like, you know, it was very like, you know, don't you dare like, you know, try to take both of them. Like, you know, she made it very clear. Like, you know, these are the share.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
I
yeah.
have one bag for each.
Like, did she like give it direct? Is it like when you leave a tip for, you want to make sure that waiter gets it specifically?
Yeah.
Did she take it over to the.
No, she was elderly. So I was kind of always at the door. But like, yeah, it was just always made sure you knew, like, all right, this one's for the labor. This one's for you.
Oh,
like,
man, you know. That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember her name?
No, actually. You know, it's funny. Like, I'm actually terrible with names, but no.
Yeah.
I do. But it's funny because it would be, you could talk to any driver who's been on like in that area or on those routes. And it's like, oh, the cookie lady.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, yeah.
She's the cookie lady.
Yeah. Like. You know,
nice. What other nice things do people do?
When it's hot out, residents bring us water, bring us Gatorades. I had one lady, and it was funny. She came out with like a bowl of grapes and here you go. I'm like, well, okay. Like I appreciate it, you know? But just stuff like that, you know, especially in the heat, it helps. Cause you're, you know, when we're out there, you're just getting, you know, it's hot. And it's humid and, you know, a water, a Gatorade is always kind of nice to, you know, keep you going.
Yeah, definitely. Get you the electrolytes in and whatnot.
Yeah.
A few more questions about Milwaukee I had.
Yeah.
You kind of got sidetracked a little bit. That's half my fault, half your fault, you know. What's your favorite bowling alley in Milwaukee?
Ooh. I have to say now in Bayview Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's
when
a good one.
Lived on the east side, it was Landmark Lanes.
So it's pretty much whatever bowling alley is closest to your house.
Closest bowling alley. Yes. And I go, but, and also like Landmark Lanes back in the day, like this was like pre like smoking ban.
Oh,
where
yeah.
It was like, you had to have like Landmark clothes. Like, and that was just, if you were going to Landmark, let me look around. Okay. Yeah. This is because they would just, it was, you smelled like an ashtray.
Yeah.
After being in there for a couple hours. And it was like, if it'd be closed, like they had these like floodlights come on and it was just like, all of a sudden, you know, all the lights would come on and be like, everyone out. And there'd just be this smoky haze. It was, you know, you just had to be there. It was like you know, there isn't anything like that anymore.
No, not like, at all.
You know, so yeah, I guess I finally remember Landmark for that time, you know.
And like, that's kind of like George Webb's. They used to let you smoke inside there at George Webb's.
Oh, 100%. I always laughed because my grandma on my dad's side was a smoker. And very much it wasn't until I was older where it was like, oh, grandma picked where we were going to eat based on if they had a smoking section.
So like, it's exclusively George Webb's for a lot of time.
Yeah. Or just, yeah, like, oh, I can't even remember some of the other ones. Because they used to, you know, it wasn't very like, you know, you weren't free from the smoke. But it would, you know, for a while, it was like you came into the restaurant and one side was, you know, smoking, non-smoking or this and that. But it was like, yeah, once if it was a no smoking place, they were off the list. Like,
yeah, nope, not anymore. Yeah. I love the smoking section though. Very scientific way to limit people's exposure to
smoke.
Sure,
yeah, that it's not just
airborne. Roll it in that direction. You know? That's great. So where do you want to kind of take the garbage situation? Where, like, do you see yourself? Like what first of all, what are the positions? Like, where do you go? You start off, you said the guy on the back of the truck thing I was doing, that's called the laborer.
So the laborer is still an equipment operator. When you start with the city, you're an equipment operator one.
Okay.
And as you slowly learn other pieces of equipment, you become an equipment operator two. And then beyond that, there's a promotional position that's more competitive to be an equipment operator three. And then beyond that, there's also special equipment operators with the city, and that's, you're operating like a backhoe, a street sweeper, stuff like that, more stuff that takes like specialized training.
Yeah.
So you kind of, and it's nice because there's some places where, you know, you go to a smaller municipality, they hire you for what they hire you for, and that's what you're, you know, that's what you're going to do. Where here it's, there's a lot of opportunities. Like, I've even worked with guys, or I've even worked with equipment operators that have went on to be firefighters, cops for the city, electricians. You know, it's cool because there's opportunities for you within the department, but also when you're in the city, you know, you can also transfer to other departments. So it's a cool job if you want to have a lot of opportunities for what you're looking to do.
Yeah. So like, if someone's out there thinking like, hey, I kind of want to do this, how do you even get started in it? Where do you go?
First would be to get your CDL, and that's through the state. You can go
for people don't know, CDL,
commercial driver's license.
Okay.
Now recently, used to be able to do like kind of a self taught thing, and then you could take the road test and so on, but now you got to go to a tech school.
Okay,
so it costs more money now.
I like how it's like a self-taught thing for like a garbage truck.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
back in the day,
like, I was self-taught.
You were self-taught. You just kind of did it till you didn't hit anything.
Well, you'd study the manual, you'd go take the written test, you had to pay then, because you'd have your it's kind of like a regular driver's license. There's a written test, then there's a time where you're like a permitted, and then you go to a road test, and then you have your CDL.
Okay, got it. So but now there's a more formal process to get that. Okay,
yeah,
all right, can't just be grandfathered in.
No. Well, and that was actually funny, because so the original CDLs back in the day, it was called a chauffeur's license, and those were basically like, you know, you just had to show up,
you know, and like, fee.
Yeah, and then you got a job and here's the keys.
Yeah
God bless.
You know,
we've come a long way for, you know, that kind of the knowledge and standards, you know, from, you know, the days of old.
Yeah,
but
so you come in though, you get your CDL,
you come in, you get your CDL, you just keep an eye out. There's times where the city also hires for laborers, but that would be more streets and other departments. And there you can come in with just a permit. So if you pass the written test, and then they give you time and training to get your CDL. So you're kind of given like a grace period to get your CDL, you know, to go through getting passing the road test and so forth.
Yeah.
But okay. Then, just looking for open positions for public works, and mainly laborer, equipment operator. Yeah. There's a lot of like entry level. And then even once you're in, like, so, you know, laborer in streets, sewers, for forestry, they have like a kind of an apprenticeship based position. Like there's different, you know, there's all these inroads. And then once you're in public works, there's opportunities within there that are transfer positions. So those are positions that might not even be opened up on the website, but opened initially for employees.
Oh, nice. So what's like, the website, by the way?
It's the city of Milwaukee website and then slash jobs.
Milwaukee.gov/jobs.
Milwaukee.gov/jobs.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
You can even fill out like a job interest form. So they'll send you emails. You can call if there's a position that you have, you know, you can talk to the Department of Employee Relations. Like there's a, they'll, I mean, there's times they'll help fill out an application, stuff like that. You can call down for questions and so forth. They're very helpful.
Nice. Nice. Now you've worked for a number of other cities too.
Yeah.
And I know like with Milwaukee, you know, you can't technically keep any of the stuff that you see out there. Right.
Yeah.
But when you've worked for these other places.
Also, you can't keep it.
Oh
yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, you know, that's kind of the rule.
Yeah.
But
like if there was some interesting stuff out there that you would have wanted to keep.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff are we talking? What are people just throwing out? You know,
One time I got a deer mount.
You got a deer mount?
Yeah.
How big of a rack was that?
Probably like a 12.
Really? 12 pointer. 10, someone was just somewhere. Throwing it out.
Well, the wife said that, the wife said, I got too many of these. I got to pick
dude,
one that goes.
Was he just standing out there by the garbage yes, when it was going, yeah. Just crying? Did you see a little tear in his eyes?
But
So he was like, hey, you guys want this? Because I just don't want to see it go through the trash compactor right now.
Correct. Yeah.
So we're just doing the Lord's work there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got.
I didn't want the deer to go in vain, you know, like, right. But yeah.
All right. So deer mount. That's pretty cool.
Deer mount. A lot of like beer memorabilia. There'd be times where people would throw it, you know, it'd be cleaning out the basement or something. And you'd find like the old bar tins and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The signs and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
What's the wildest thing you've ever heard someone find?
One time, it was elsewhere. People were counterfeiting money, and they were just throwing away counterfeit money.
Really?
The police might have got involved with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which was weird when the like cart dumped and the money just kind of blew down the road, and we're like, what the heck? You know?
Oh,
like,
wow.
Yeah.
Did you have an inkling it was counterfeit at that point, or were you going out there collecting... That's when God's like, broom does not help you out. You're like, give me that money back.
That was, it was one of those, like you grabbed one and you looked and you're like, oh, this is the paper's way off.
Paper's off.
It was lazy.
Yeah.
But, that you kind of remind me of another, and this was like a story that just from a couple guys that worked, cause a lot of times, especially with, like cleanouts, residential cleanouts and stuff. You'd have it where like grandma would hide money and stuff. And I remember talking with a couple of guys where they were at the landfill one time when a big dumpster container got dumped and the bulldozer went to go like push it out and a dresser broke apart. And there was a couple grand just like blowing across the landfill.
Really?
From the wind. Yeah. Cause that was someone was, you know, that's where they squirreled away their money.
Yeah.
And no one knew about it.
Oh man.
You know, so there, I've said that with guys I've worked with where it's like, man, I wonder how much money through this time we've probably just pitched, like, you know, for people like forgetting, you know, to clean something out or this and that. Like,
there's,
you
know, it's always just, money in the banana stand.
Yeah. There's all. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Yeah. That's kind of wild. So, and that brings up another good point. Like once all this stuff is picked up,
yeah,
you know, what do you do with it? Like, I didn't get to that part of the job.
Yeah.
Once you got full dumpster.
We got a transfer station kind of up near the drop-off center off Lincoln. And then it just gets, they got like a giant compactor. So it gets crushed again, into transfer trailers and they truck it out to like a couple different landfills in the area. And it gets buried.
Wow. So that's a whole other dude's job.
Yeah. Yeah. Once we dump it on the transportation floor, we wipe our hands of it and off it goes.
Got it. It's
a magical journey.
Yeah.
So
have you ever had ambitions to be the guy that takes it up to the big mound?
You know, I had a previous job where we had to dump at the landfill, and it was horrible.
Was it?
Just because of the you get a lot of flat tires because everything there is soft. So wherever you drove, you couldn't see where you're driving, and all of a sudden you'd drive out and one of your tires would be off the rim because you ran over a bunch of roofing nails or something.
Oh,
like that.
Really?
And you got to watch where you step because you get out to, flip the, empty the, or turn the handles for the back to, I wish I could have showed you how we like empty the truck and stuff, but like you're walking around, there's times, you know, all of a sudden you look and you realize like a hospital dumpster got dumped and there's just bags of like medical waste and stuff. So it's like, you always got to watch where you're stepping.
Hypodermic needles out there and everything.
Potentially. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Well, if it's a hospital dumpster, yeah. You know?
Well, that should all get like, technically it's medical waste. It should be in Sharps containers and stuff, but that isn't always the case.
Yeah. That's not the deal. So they don't have roads out there on the trash mound.
No, it's basically, well, you're just basically driving on the old compacted trash that they then put a layer of kind of like mulch and ground up car seats. So that's the cover. Okay. So after every day, the landfill has to cover all the trash that was dropped there. So then they cover it with like material, like from residual, even some of the, like the recycling plant, some of the residual stuff that couldn't be found to be recyclable, that they can run that out and they'll use that as the cover over the actual trash to limit the odor and birds and whatnot. So yeah, it's definitely like, you're just kind of driving on a mountain of trash and it's just packed down tight, but your truck's going to sink into it slowly. And you just got to watch.
Basically on a quicksand of trash.
I mean, it's firm enough, but there's a couple times where you get like, I've had like where it's like, I don't know if I'm making it out of here today.
Really?
Just because of the rain and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Rain,
man.
Snow. Yeah. You're just, yeah.
Has anyone ever gotten lost? You know, like it was sucked into it or something.
I don't think so. I had one time just because again, it's this thing slowly just kind of made as it's on the fly. So there's times where like the hill you drove up to get there and you're coming back down and all of a sudden you get in a slide and you're like, well, hopefully no one comes around this corner. Like,
oh, you're just sliding down. Yeah. The thing, yeah. Because
it's,
point.
You know, you're just mud. If it's raining, you're just driving in the big mud pit.
Wow.
You know, so they try to keep it clean, but there's always an amount of, you know.
And you're dealing with a bunch of trash. It's kind of like no man's land there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
What kind of birds frequent the landfill?
Surprisingly, a lot of eagles.
Eagles.
They're kind of like you get a lot of seagulls. And then for some reason, there's just eagles. They love to eat the garbage, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of
they're scavengers.
Yes. More than people realize. It's not very majestic when like a
bald eagle, sitting on a mound of trash.
Yeah.
It's America, baby, right there.
Like a rotisserie chicken carcass. Like, yeah, it's kind of like, oh, okay. That's not so, you know, but it's a ton of seagulls and they're mean. Like seagulls are no fun.
Yeah, right.
It's the mean bird, but they're protected. So
seagulls?
Know. Yeah. Seagulls are like a federally protected bird.
Yeah. That's all that always now that you say that, it makes sense because I've never heard of anyone say I'm gonna go seagull hunting.
Well, it'd kind of be like Jaws, where if you cut open a seagull, it'd probably just be like a license plate and I don't know what you get out of it meat wise.
That's all the time we have for now, but if you want to listen to my full conversation with Derek, check out the Cripescast anywhere you get your podcasts.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down, just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin, the Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No. Gotta keep her moving.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media News Director Shally Pittman will be joining us to break down all of the news that happened over the weekend. Nothing will happen. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Matt Nair on Air.
Kareen Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Kareen, about the need for childcare in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. A Southwest Airlines flight dropped some 300 feet in 36 seconds as pilots maneuvered to avoid another aircraft. And lucky passengers thanked the pilot when it landed. CBS's Chris Van Cleve with more.
The pilots received two alerts from the onboard collision avoidance system calling for immediate evasive maneuvers to avoid a potential collision with a 66-year-old former Swiss Air Force fighter jet that was descending nearby at more than 500 miles an hour.
This big free fall feeling.
It just felt like you were on like a free fall roller coaster.
The Southwest Boeing 737 first climbed, then rapidly descended about 475 feet before climbing about 600 feet.
President Trump is in Scotland for golf and trade talks, but CBS's Christian Benavides reports he's still facing controversy.
The trip comes